In our second lesson, we continue in 2 Samuel, turning to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 1. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the ark, and he died there beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah, so that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, "How can the ark of the Lord come into my care?" So David was unwilling to take the ark of the Lord into his care in the city of David. Instead, David took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who had bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yesterday, I was preaching at the Presbytery of Philadelphia in a barn at Camp Kirkwood in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. It was 94 degrees inside the barn. So I'm thankful for my forebears who air-conditioned the sanctuary this morning. Well, that's quite a biblical story. This summer, we're tackling a few quite the Bible stories. Last week, poor old Saul and the witch of Endor. Well, how about Uzzah? Poor old Uzzah. A few Sundays ago, we read David's ode to Saul and Jonathan after David had been told of their death on the battlefield. And in the chapters that come after that in 2 Samuel, David becomes king of Judah and then king of Israel and Judah. And with the desire to reestablish Jerusalem as the military stronghold and the political and religious center of the kingdom, David sets out to get the Ark of God that had been in the hands of the Philistines and return it to Jerusalem. And so with 30,000 of the chosen men of Israel, plus all the people, David went to get the Ark. The ark was in the house of Abinadab up on a hill. And as the Bible tells it, David brought a new cart to carry the ark, and Abinadab's sons were driving the cart, Ahio and Uzzah. Ahead of the ark bearing of the ark of God, David and the people were dancing and singing and praising the Lord with all their might, quite the festive procession, until it wasn't. When the ark parade comes to a threshing floor, a presumably flat, smooth area, the oxen shook, the cart must have dipped, the ark started to tip, Uzzah, not wanting the ark to fall, does presumably what pretty much anyone would do. He reaches out his hand to catch the ark. And right then and there, according to 2 Samuel, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because he reached out his hand to the ark. The Lord wasn't the only one angry. David was angry at God because the Lord had burst forth with an outburst upon Uzzah, which must be biblical language, for you killed Uzzah, God. David renamed the place where Uzzah died Perez Uzzah. Bursting out against Uzzah was now the name of the place. What a puzzling, bizarre, harsh story that leaves the reader just sort of shaking the head. You come upon this sort of thing every now and then in Scripture, right? And here someone will say, ah, that's just the Old Testament. That's how it is in the Old Testament. Someone says with a shrug of the shoulders and a wave of the hand, that's why we have Jesus. Someone else offers, that's why we have Jesus, like Jesus is some sort of antidote to the Old Testament. But the Bible also tells us of Ananias and Sapphira. They sold property, didn't share all the money with the community of faith, then they lied about it, so they died. And that's after Jesus, in the New Testament, the book of Acts. Uzzah reached out to touch the ark because it was starting to tip, and he was struck dead. Was it that bad? Did Uzzah really deserve it? Would it have been better for the ark to fall to the ground? If the ark hit the ground, maybe God's outburst would have been directed at all 30,000 people. I guess his time was up. You can just hear people back then saying something like that. Just like you still hear people who take a similar approach when tragedy strikes. It must have been God's will. You can't tempt fate. His number was up. God must have needed another ark bearer in heaven. He's in a better place. I wonder if anyone offered wisdom like that to Uzzah's family that day somewhere outside of Jerusalem. To be honest with you, scholars, biblical commentators, and writers are not all that helpful when it comes to preaching this story of Uzzah's death. The writer of 2 Samuel is pretty clear when it comes to an explanation. God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the ark. Okay, then. Some blame it on how David chose to carry the ark. It was being carried in a cart pulled by oxen. The instructions for ark bearing in the Holy Scriptures, however, dictate that the ark was supposed to be honored and carried by human means. Ark bearers with poles on the shoulder carrying it like a king would be carried in the ancient world rather than being schlepped in a cart behind some oxen. So Uzzah died because David didn't follow directions. Okay, then. Some interpreters offer the explanation that Uzzah's cause of death was agricultural related. The text reads that Uzzah reached up to the ark because the oxen shook it. Scholars of the language point out that a better translation of the verb would be that the oxen stumbled, or even more accurately, that the oxen dropped. In plain language, the oxen reached the flat terrain of the threshing floor and decided to make some manure. Uzzah, according to this theory, just slipped, touched the ark, and with a stroke of bad luck, was gone. The wrath of God and an unfortunately placed pile of manure. Okay, then. The account of Uzzah's death in the 6th chapter of 2 Samuel mentions his father, Abinadab, and his brother, Ahio. Unfortunately, regrettably, there's no mention of Uzzah's mother. The reason the scholars, the Bible commentators, and the writers are not all that helpful for the preacher when it comes to this story is that none of them have to go visit Uzzah's mother. Perhaps an abstract theological perspective and rationale can be found that somehow helps it all make sense. But I've come back from a cemetery too many times with muddy shoes and sat in too many waiting rooms and hung up the phone too many times when I didn't have a blessed thing to say. Over the 4th of July holiday weekend in the United States, there were more than 500 reported incidents of gun violence. 613 people were injured, 233 were killed. The statistic that wasn't mentioned was the number of grieving mothers, fathers, children, brothers, and sisters. And all the political rhetoric in the world can't give an explanation to the grieving families. There have been more than 4 million COVID-related deaths in the world and over 600,000 in this country. With all the statistics and metrics available related to the virus, I've not seen an attempt to estimate a number of grieving mothers and fathers and children and sisters and brothers. And no medical expert, no elected or appointed leader, no conspiracy theorist can give a rationale that gives comfort. We've all seen and read those interviews with grieving mothers, fathers, children, brothers, and sisters, the family of the people who died in the building collapse in Florida. And all the engineering explanations in the world won't help it all make sense. Anyone who thinks that the call to walk with God and follow Jesus is about always having an answer, demanding an answer, finding an answer, that, well, they may as well be playing catch with an ark. Because you and I are called to stand knee-deep in the gray water of life and point to the presence of God, especially when words are not going to be found. Anyone can rise to point to and rail on the sin and the darkness of the world all around us, but some are called to stand in the darkness and bear witness to the light of God's presence. If you'll pardon the pun, the arc of the story of Uzzah's death points the reader to the holiness of God. The ark of God was believed to contain the untouchable, unapproachable, unseeable holiness of God. Think burning bush. Take your shoes off. Come no further. Or God telling Moses that no one can see God's face and live. Or the shine on Moses' face after being in the presence of God. Or God telling Moses to go hide in the cleft of the rock and that God would cover Moses with God's hand as God passed by and Moses could see just the backside of God's holiness. When Uzzah reached up to catch the ark, he was catching the holiness of God. He was catching the untouchable, unapproachable, unseeable holiness of God. And as you and I just sit with the story of Uzzah this morning rather than try to explain it away, remember that we believe in the mystery of God's plan of salvation. God making God's self known to God's people, that God's holiness, the presence of God Almighty, is not in an ark carried on a cart. The very holiness of God came to the ark of Mary's womb. Not only was the holiness of God not to be touched, the holiness of God was to be held. The holiness of God was heard to cry. The holiness of God nursed at a mother's breast. The holiness of God, the presence of God there in the form of a child. This child, God's holiness, the one who allowed a woman to anoint his feet. The one who healed the woman who touched his garment. The one who called out to the dead with tears in his eyes. The one who allowed children to run and grab onto his knees. He allowed himself to be touched, to be whipped, and to be spat upon and spread out on a cross. God's holiness, God's presence displayed not in the finest of artistry, but splattered on a cross. If we're honest, you and I probably fall right in behind the Old Testament writers who yearned for simple answers. We fall right in line with King David, who was angry and questioned God. We fall right in line with thousands of years of attempting to understand that which is not understandable. We fall right in line with all who wonder how a poor man could be struck dead after touching a museum piece that was starting to tilt. And we fall in line with those who struggle to understand when the inexplicable happens and still yearn to draw near to the God whose holiness we know best in Christ himself, a holiness defined by compassion and self-emptying love. For the same God whose presence was acknowledged by the ancients in the Ark of the Covenant, the same God whose presence kicked around in the Ark of Mary's womb, the same God whose holiness is defined as friend of sinners, the same God whose love turned a cross of death into an ark of eternal life, that God is present with us, present among us, God with us, God for us. Some demand answers, some search for words. Most days, all you and I can do is lean into life and cling to God's promise and yearn for God's embrace. God's promise and God's embrace. Most days, all you and I can do is lean into life, clinging to God's promise and yearning for God's embrace. And, oh yes, going to visit Uzzah's mother. Amen.